No, this is what faith is. This is what Christianity is. You know, we can all come for Bible study. You know that. I mean, Udechukwu, how much do you charge at the gate? Free, nothing. It doesn't charge anything. All right? All right? We don't charge anything. You walk in free of charge. Nobody makes it compulsory upon you that you must do something or the other. You walk in, you walk out. So anybody can come. Do you follow? Now, the real time, and listen, there's another thing. There are those who love to read. They don't look, Derek Prince, when he went to the war, Second World War, as a soldier, he took the Bible, not because he loved the Word of God, but because he loved to read. And the army allowed only one book. So he said the only book in which he can get many books was the Bible. So he saw the Bible as a compilation of 66 books, making it easy for him to break the army rule. The army said, bring how many books? One. So he took 66 books. That was the only reason he took a Bible. He didn't believe in God. He was a philosopher. He saw the Bible as another compilation of writings. So many people can be reading the Bible. It's not a sign of faith. You can go to church. It's not a sign of faith. Let me tell you the truth. Concerning your own life and mine, that is, it's a personal reflection thing. The only sign to you that you have faith is when you have to make choices. The only sign to you that you really believe is when you have to make decisions. It's not whether you are a co-worker in a church, you are a worker in a church, or they ordain you pastor. Listen, there are reverends that don't believe in God. No, that's not a joke. You know, I say things sometimes and it's a joke, but that one is not a joke. There are people who don't believe in God, and they are ordained reverends. You've heard me quote this one before. Ravi Zacharias was talking about it. A lecturer in a Bible school said, how many of you here don't believe in God? And some hands in class in a Bible school went up. So the man went to them at the end of the day and said, please, I'm confused. This is a theological seminary. You don't believe in God. What are you doing here? They said to him, there's good box in a God racket. That this God racket, money they flow. So instead of studying accounting and becoming an accountant, we decided to come and study theology and become reverends. Because the money is good. You are in Bible school, is no proof you believe in God. Having studied the scriptures, this is the only proof I have found that a man can use to tell himself, I am really a man. A woman can use to tell herself, I'm really a woman of faith. It's when I have to make choices. Does the word of God guide my choices? If it doesn't, I don't have faith. If it doesn't, I don't have faith. Listen, it's not about church going or change of name. You understand my point? I used to have a Muslim name, now it's a Christian name. No. You want to know whether you really believe in God? Ask yourself, when I have to make my choice, do I take that money or not take it? Upon what premise did I make that choice? When I had to decide, let's get back to the young woman in love, whether I should marry this man or not marry him. What was my consideration? I remember once we were in school, there was one sister, she said something, I never forgot it. People were teaching the scripture. And this was Jim sister. People who spoke in tongues and prophesied. Don't naturally say, oh, this is a woman of faith. Is that not so? Then I heard her make a statement once, and I couldn't believe it. He said, all of you can say what you want to say, but this is the kind of man I plan to marry. That is, they just finished teaching the scriptures. I said, other one I talk. That pastor can say what he wants to say. This is the kind of person I plan to marry. That is, speaking in tongues from now till tomorrow, you are an unbeliever. And in case you have not read it enough in the scriptures, let me tell you about it. When you join the company of people who are prophesying, you may also accidentally prophesy. The anointing works funny. Saul entered the midst of the prophets in a backsliding state. The Holy Spirit also fell upon him. And people say, is Saul also amongst the prophets the second time? Because it happened before. So, if you are talking about, listen, whether I have faith or not, is simple. When I'm making my choices, who do I fear? And look, let's get that one clear. Because we can all come to church. We can all come to Bible study. That's why I said, they don't charge fees. And in case we are charging fees, people pay to go and watch movies, don't they? Yeah, they may think Pastor Banky and Alibaba are now in the same company. So they pay to come and watch also. It's possible. You know, after all, conferences that they do abroad, a lot of Christian conferences, all conferences you register. And sometimes the registration is not free. The fact that you paid does not mean you have faith. Do you have faith? It's simple. The only way you can tell is just be watching yourself. How do I make my decisions? Is it based upon the word of God or is it based upon... That's the way I like it. You know, that's the way I like it. That's the way I am. You know the kind of person I am. You are an unbeliever. If that's how you are making your decisions. You know, something happened. I wanted to start today by telling that story. Just to prove this thing I'm saying. A colleague of mine, you know, a junior person, recently, he was having very serious family problems, you know, wife, husband, matter, all right? He's a married man. And then, listen to this, though. No, they argue with people. You know, I told you, argument is not my portion, amen? I just talk. If you like, take it. If you like, leave it. So he said something to me that showed there was a ray of hope in that relationship, in that marriage. Not relationship now. No relationship. Let's say they are engaged. No. It's a man and his wife. They have children. You understand? So, and I said, look, I want to tell you something. So I took him aside and I explained to him how we can hold onto that ray of hope and renew this whole thing. I explained to him that, listen, if this breaks down, you will suffer as much as your wife will suffer. So don't think that she will suffer. Listen, it's hard for you too. So I explained. So I went through some steps, what you can do, how you can... I just went through some things. I'm going to discuss that now, all right? So he said, thank you very much, sir. And we left. The following day, I saw him. Or 2 days later, he said, Oga, that thing there, let me give you a feedback. He said, do you know that somebody actually gave my wife something to put inside my food? So I said to him, don't worry about it. He looked at me. And I meant it matter of factly. I said, don't worry about it. Did she put it in your food? Yes. You ate the food. He said, I didn't know then. Yes, I ate it. Are you dead? You ain't dead. I said to him simply, don't worry about it. All I want to understand, look, that those things they put inside food, I even told him that it could be love medicine. And love medicine is good. If a woman puts love medicine inside her husband's food, she's a good woman now. Eh? They are not church people, so you understand what I'm saying. So I'm not saying that you should go to Babalawo. Did I say that? I'm just trying to say that you shouldn't feel too bad. He wants you to love you more. There are different kinds of love portion. All right? If I get home, there are love portions my wife can give me, and I'll eat it also. But that one is cooked in a different fashion. Amen? Uh-huh. My wife knows what to do to make me very happy. I just said to him, I said, look, that's not a big deal. I just said, forget about it. Now, listen to this. I said, forget about it. He said, Oga, no, I can't forget it though. I said, nothing's going to happen to you. I was trying to say, look, you know my attitude towards such things. Forget those things. Let's pray about these matters and leave those matters. Forget about it. He now said to me, this is where I'm going. He said, no, I can't forget it though. I said, so what are you planning to do? He said, we are going to go to the village now. I said, to go and do what? He said, she's going to have to swear for me. After she said that, I shut down the discussion. Now, before, I was like, look, you can pray about these things, you can talk about these things. I was giving him tips. Once he said, we are going to go to the village, and she's going to do what? Swear. I just made up my mind, this guy, though he goes to church, he does not have any faith. Are you getting my point? It's not about being a member of a church. That's what I'm talking about. Now the chips are down. The cards are on the table. It is time to play. Are you getting my point? You now say, no, we will go to... You see, saying you are going to church is convenient. Sunday morning, what else do you have to do? Otherwise, society will think you're a wicked soul. I mean, these days, if you're a woman, you don't go to church, nobody's going to marry you. You know that. It's true. Nobody's going to marry you. They think you must be very wicked for a woman not to go to church. Even all this, you know, if you come out here at night, all right? If you ever come... After Bible study, just wait, like 2 hours. You see, babes could just arrange for that joint. On Sunday morning, ask those guests, where did they go? Some of them are in choir self. All of them are in church. So if you now don't go to church, you must be worse than them. So going to church is not an issue. It's not an issue. What is the issue is now when I have to make a decision. That's why I told that story. The young man told me, no, Oga, we will go to the village. and she must come and swear. Church going, trust me, at that particular point in time, I shocked. That was the last time I spoke about the matter. I just said, what do you plan to do? We'll go to the village and she must swear for me. I said, fine. Be it unto you according to your swear. I just closed this chapter there. I'm not saying anything further. And you can't persuade me to speak on that matter again. I shall be looking like this until Amadioha does what he's supposed to do. Maybe Amadioha, did they call him? And they see them for home movie too. The Lord is good. Now, I needed to emphasize that. Are you a Christian? That's the only way you will know. Are you a believer? That is the only way you will know. It's not whether I went to church over the last 6 months regularly, or I paid my tithe, and the devourer can't get me. Listen, if you like, pay tithe and tell God to keep the change. The devourer will still kill you, kill all your property, if you make it a habit of disobeying the word of God when you have to make choices. I'm digressing, but give me 1 minute to digress. That is why I hate this gospel of give so you can get. People actually intend to bribe God. They mean it like that. Commit sin, but give God a portion. God will leave you alone. You understand? Commit, but just make sure that whatever you get, God gets his portion. You know, he's a mafia boss. Are you following my point? What real faith is, it's not just about saying, am I a Christian, I'm not a Christian. It's, do I believe God or I don't? It's the point in which I have to make a decision that you actually decide whether you really believe God or you don't. Let me get back to the main thing so that we can close. Now, no, I remember I said I may take more than one day, all right? So let me just take my time. Well, next time I won't talk as much as I'm talking today. Now, let's get back to the issue. Sometimes you have to obey God, that you know what to do. You are not somebody who is insistent upon going to the village to go and swear. Are you getting my point? You are not even confused, though we'll talk about that also. All right? But the thing you know is right to do is hard for you to do. Like the example I give, the young woman is in love badly, and she can't see straight. But she knows the truth. Are you getting my point? She knows it. What do you now do at such times? Let me say to you again, the word of God is not to be obeyed, it is to be believed. You know I said that before. In case you have not heard me say it before, let me say it again. The word of God is not, let me say it in such a manner that people won't get confused. The word of God, the commandments of God, they were not given for us to strive to accomplish. No. They were given for us to believe them. And the sign that we believe them is obedience. Are you getting my point? It is not as if we say, I believe, and then you walk in disobedience. No. The sign of faith is obedience. I don't mean that I have to prove that I believe by obeying. No, you have missed it again. I'm saying that if you truly believe it, you will discover that obedience will work itself out naturally in your life. Do you get the point I'm making? Please, I pray, just meditate upon that and you will get more understanding of it. Let me just put it like that. Because the mistake we make is we try to obey. Now, you know, suppose, is that not good? It sometimes appears good when the things are simple. I don't know what I hear what I said. Let us assume, for example, let's go back to this love matter. The young woman is not in love yet. She's just liking him. You know what I'm saying? And she now goes to church. Do not be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. He said, Angie, how far with Clement? I have written him off. Why? Didn't you go to church? He's an unbeliever. In this my life, I don't get time for unbeliever. Oh, strong sister. You know the truth? She was not in love yet. She was just liking him. So when the liking was still in the manageable level and the word came forth, it was easy to obey. You get the point? Yeah. Very easy to obey. Now that is the problem with the striving to obey. We usually get an unnecessary, no, not the word unnecessary is good. It's the other, better word is a dangerous self-confidence because we were able to obey when things were not difficult. The same lady that did that bragging, what was her name just now? Angie, right? So it's not Clement this time around, she forgets. And then one guy, you're my sister's brother, or my friend's brother. They talk for phone, they talk. Then one day, he don't love this one bad. He don't the dream. Wedding by mid-October, everything. Then revelation just comes up through one way or the other. Say, hey, that guy is pretending, no, he's not a Christian, no, he's not really born again, he's a joker. He starts making, no, what do you mean? How can you just be saying such bad things about people? You don't even know them. You are judging them before you know them. Defense. You don't understand why she's defending. Then after a while, she finds out truly that the guy is very nice, but he's not a true believer. Except that this time around, she's already in love. All that boldness and strength that she used to throw Clement away, it won't work this time around. The sad side, now, just the sad side. A lot of young women, that's when, you know what we call backsliding. Do you still use those words these days? People don't backslide anymore. Half of the people in church are backsliding anyway, so there's no need for backsliding. What is the big deal? Pastor is backsliding, bishop is backsliding, everybody's backsliding. So if you backslide, you're just joining the main group. But those days, it was a very serious word. Backsliding. He said, that bro is backsliding. What? What happened? We saw him yesterday. What was he doing? He was there sharing tombo. He's backsliding. Anyway, so that's the time a lot of young women backslide. They can't. It's hard. My father already knows. My mother knows. Everybody knows. Everybody knows him. And this talk is going on and on and on and on. Then suddenly, they say, we don't see you in fellowship anymore. Oh, no. You know, the church he goes to, that is the very same time we do young women's meeting. It's a lie. She didn't go for young women's meeting. She just can't bear to face all of you while she's still going ahead to marry the unbeliever. Let's not talk about her. Let's talk about what are we supposed to do at such times. This is what prayer does. It's school of prayer. This is what prayer is for. Don't ever forget that one we said. Let's go back to it. That is the story of the Lord Jesus Christ. It can't be one verse now. It's plenty of verses. All right, the story of the Lord Jesus Christ, the book of Matthew chapter 26. Let's read it from, I won't read everything because of time. The Bible says from verse 36, then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to his disciples, sit down while I go over there and pray. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be grieved and distressed. Then he said to them, my soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch with me. He went a little beyond them and fell on his face and prayed, saying, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not as I will, but as thou wilt. Let me stop there, okay? Now, if you read further down, you see that he came, he prayed, then he went back, and he prayed this. He came, he saw the people, spoke with them, that they were not praying, and then he went back in verse 42, and he prayed a second time. And then if you see, he went away a third time in verse 44, and then he prayed the same thing again. The Bible said, listen, if I let me read that verse 44. And he left them again and went away and prayed a third time, saying the same thing once more. Let me say something to you about emotions, and I'll close with it. We'll pray next time. Let me describe something about emotions. Those who broke the spiritual anatomy of men down for us, those days, they said that the Bible says that we have a soul, we have a spirit, we have a soul, we have a body, all right? Oswald Chambers said the three of them make the man, all right? We used to say the man is a spirit, then he has a soul, then he lives in a body. Oswald Chambers says, and I'm on that side, the three of them make the man. They say man is the spirit. That cannot be true. If you read this Bible very well, you find out if man has to be any of the above, it's the soul. Yes, the Bible called men souls. Do you follow my point? And they say that it's my soul. There's also my spirit. Do you follow my point? So the easiest way, in fact, to me, the most accurate is the one I read from Oswald Chambers. He said the three of them make the human being. And in fact, he said, what about when we die and leave this earth? The Bible makes it clear that we, after a while, have a new body. There has to be three parts to the person that God created as a human being. All right? Now, so you have a spirit, you have a soul, and then you have a body. Now, they were told that the emotion is part of the soul. Now, I want to bring up an issue about what emotions do. Now, God built the emotion. Now, let me just say this. The human being, the way God made him, he made him to be trained. Did you hear what I said? You didn't hear what I said properly. God made the human being to be trained. Do you understand my point? Oh, for example, now I have children. And I've noticed children are not givers by nature. They are taught to give. There may be some good in them, but you must teach them to express it. Yes. You must teach children. For example, of course, you know all the children I have. The oldest one, Akinlu. There are times I sit him down, my wife will sit him down, and explain to him that as the oldest, these are the things you will do to your younger ones. Do you understand? So if they have to choose things now, he has learned not to rush and struggle. He must prefer his younger ones. It's a rule. But he wasn't born like that. You have to train him. Now, this is the thing about training. When you have been well trained, a time comes that the things that you were trained to do are natural to you. For those of you who drive, have you ever driven around Okwara Square and seen people who are learning to drive? You wonder what is difficult about this thing. Meanwhile, you can, it's bad though, don't do it too, it's bad. But you can be checking your text message, driving with your elbow, and eating corn with half of the hand, and you don't think there's a problem. You know what I'm saying? What is the issue? You've been trained. Driving is now a reflex. In fact, you don't even remember how you drive. You just know you drive. You get the point. Now, so that's the thing about training. But until the emotion, now, that's how emotions are. You're supposed to train your emotions. You're supposed to teach your emotions what to react to and what not to react to. The one I like to give as an example, sorry, don't put up your hand, but if you have ever drank stout or you still drink stout, put up your hand inside your spirit. Don't put it up outside, no embarrassment. Now, this is not spirituality. I just what I want to tell you. I don't drink stout. Not because I'm spiritual, but because the bloody thing is bitter. And I've never understood why people drink it. And you see the way, one day, you know, one of my big guys took us out somewhere. You know, he just said, okay, after a program, I said, let's go out somewhere and sit down. So we started buying drinks for everybody. Actually, it is a Enugu Sports Club. So we sat down there. I went to Malga. People in the department, all right? We all came. Anything you want, you know, there were seven things. And me, in fact, the two men, apart from the big ogre, were only two men. And every other person, about five of them, were ladies. The funny part was that the two men, one drank Coke, the other guy, that's me, the other guy drank a bottle of malt. And the ladies were asking for stout, you know. And, you know, they were asking for the poisonous ones, you know. I was surprised that the two men, apart from the big boss who always does the green bottle, but the two men, me and the other guy, we're drinking this in a very soft fashion. So, you know, I was embarrassed. What's wrong with this lady? Don't you know you're in public? If you want to drink, drink in secret now. But I didn't know that. Now, maybe the Jew man, they are used to this thing. What's the big deal? Now, the point about it is this. What is the issue? They've trained their taste. That's what I'm talking about. When I see men going over this thing, say, black thing, good, oh, remember that advert? Or stout. When they are drinking this black thing, you will look, why? Do you know, one day after I became an adult, I say, okay, let me just even see whether it's a matter of age. I try them again. I say, no, this is against the will of God. This is the only way I can explain this matter. Now, the Lord is good. Now, this is how it is with emotions. You're supposed to train your emotions on what you react to. That's the way it is. That's just the way it is. That's the way it is. Now, what God put the emotion in there for is to make your duty in life sweet. Did you hear what I said? The Lord put the emotions there to make your duty sweet. When I say duty, now there are things that you must do as a person. Let me take a mother as an example. For any race, not even human beings now, even as animals, for them to survive, for the species not to become extinct, there must be a way of propagating the subsequent generations. So for the higher animals, what God did is that the mothers usually are extremely caring towards the young. Do you understand that? Like the lion, as an example, all the strength it has cannot be directed, the lioness, against her young. Do you get my point? So what does that do? It helps her keep the next generation. That's the way it is. With human beings also, a mother, even the mother so loves the child, God had to use the mother to describe the extent of God's love for mankind. That can a mother forget the child that she's nursing? He said, even if it comes to the point in which she forgets, I can never forget you. That is, the duty of bringing forth the next generation, God has made it easy in that the mothers actually enjoy doing it. Are you getting the point? God has brought it to a point where we actually enjoy doing the thing that is necessary. And that's how emotions are. God put it in place so that the thing that you are supposed to do, you enjoy doing it. For example, there's a commandment, love your wife as Christ loved the church. Do you know it's easier to love your wife if you're enjoying loving your wife? If the sight of your wife brings smiles to your face, that scripture is a very nice scripture. You'll be preaching it to everybody. Love your wife as Christ loves the church and give himself for her. And if you'll be preaching, that is, you're enjoying it. But if it's the other way around, it becomes a matter of confession. Face the wall. Father God, I thank you because you said love your wife as Christ loved the church. You're not preaching to anybody now. You have to preach to yourself. Right now, I feel like beheading somebody. But you said love your wife as Christ loves the church. What am I trying to say? The emotions are not to be followed. They are supposed to be used to do what is right. So that young woman we're talking about, no matter how much you love, you will discover that this is an unbeliever. The emotion is misbehaving. You get what I'm trying to explain? Then it must be conquered. Let me say something to you. Oftentimes we forget to conquer these emotions before we move into things and make those things difficult. I read the story of Jesus Christ now, and you saw that he knew that he should go to the cross. True or false? He knew. There was no doubt about it. This is the interesting part. Even though you have trained, because apart from emotion, and emotion is part of it, there's a natural, innate, self-preserving force that God put inside you. That is why you will run away from fire if it's burning. Do you get my point? You can't be so sleepy that, look, let it burn. When I wake up, I go to run. You have to stay alive. You are so weak and you are tired. Somebody say, come, let's go to church. I'm tired, man. Tell Pastor Bank, he say, next Saturday, today, man, I'm too tired. Then you hear, the boy that was too tired just now, suddenly he overtakes Usain Bolt in trying to get away from the shoot, so the area where they are shooting. That's how God, the Lord made it so it can be preserved. You understand? Now, even that drive, sometimes we have to overcome it. And that was what happened to the Lord Jesus Christ. He had to overcome that thing. He wanted to go to the cross. He knew he had to go to the cross, but the body refused to follow him to the cross. And listen, this one, I will drag my body by force. You have not been led to the cross yet. You understand? Your own, they are just leading you to go for evangelism. They are only leading you to go and give. They are only leading you to come for choir practice. I'm talking about being led to the cross. You can't drag that body by force. No, you can't. Let's get back to the young woman who's in love. It's not easy. You know, we've seen it before. So what should she do? We're back to it. What did the Lord Jesus do? He went how many times? Three times. The word of God is not to be obeyed. It's meant to be what? Believed. He said, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Sometimes the faith is not strong enough to to overcome the resistance to obedience. But we're back to it. The matter of what? Prayer and decision making. There are two sides that I'm talking about. One, when we know what is right to do, but the power to do it is missing. There's no need for counseling. You know, some people want to counsel. Don't worry. God, no, forget. The person already knows what to do. Is how do I do it? That is what we pray about. You know, Christians are too occupied with praying about problems. Go and read the scriptures. What shall we eat? What shall we drink? Where with us shall we be clothed? God said it shouldn't be a prayer point. Do you follow what I'm saying? The Lord said it shouldn't be a prayer point. He said, after these things, the Gentiles harass themselves. They pray. They stay all night. He said, you just seek first the kingdom. That is, a prayer should be, how do I seek it? How do I walk in his righteousness? That's a prayer point. In the Lord Jesus' case, what did he do? He went to the garden. He prayed one full hour. And this is my interpretation of it. When he came out, he said, I knew I was praying alone. I couldn't feel the effect of these voices. They were all asleep. He said, well, let me go and do my thing myself. Now, what I want to say is this. If you have a friend that's in that situation, what does that tell you? You join the person in praying. Are you getting my point? Go and read The Happiest People on Earth. That last day when Demon Shakarian finally broke through. When that pastor that came to his house, when the two of them spoke the whole night, they were late into the night, the man just said to him that, look, this is something only you and God can settle. I think you should go and pray about it. And I'll go back to my room and I'll back you up in prayer. That was all James, John, Peter and Co. did not do for the Lord Jesus. They went to sleep. Oh God, you can pray for yourself. Don't worry. Of course, they did not understand what was going on. So if God gives you understanding on what the fellow is facing, don't mind Angie. Hey, all these days that we have been going to, I can't believe she's even considering it. That's not what you're supposed to do as a Christian. Angie is in love and she does not want to marry an unbeliever. Angie, we have to pray. You know we can't do this. He said, but what do I do? Fine. We will pray about this matter. Now, it's not prayer. You know, there are two kinds of prayer. Lord, what is your will? That is an insult. What did I call it? You are insulting God. It's an insult to God. You are tempting the Lord thy God. You are blaspheming the Holy Spirit. That's not what we're talking about. It's more of, nevertheless, not my will. Even though this thing is hard, you know, his father knows. In fact, I've been to their house many times. The father has welcomed. You know, the last gold chain I had on my neck was the mother that gave it to me. In fact, the mother calls me my daughter. What am I going to do? Those are the things we are praying about. It's not about whether, Lord, is he or we? Are we going to convert him after marrying him? You know, those kind of things. We'll claim his soul by faith. He will become born again. But we're not born again when he has not married you. He will not born again after I don't marry you, finish you. He might on his own, but it's never your influence. Say, by faith, it's not your faith. It's just that he had his own appointment with destiny. Let's leave that. So, that's what I'm talking about. But how do we overcome the flesh side of it? There's no other way. There's no psychology to it. Some people want to use Ogboju. Ogboju makes life hard. You know what they call Ogboju? Bullface. By force. No, it's more difficult. That those ones, you will faint. Eventually, you will find enough excuses to find out that there's nothing wrong with marrying him anyway. But you know what happens when a young woman, a man, whoever is in that situation, goes to pray? The first time he prays, his friends are praying with him, or like in Jesus Christ's case, he was alone. The next time he prays, by the time he prays, like they say those days, prays through, you know, there's a way they used to use that expression, like the case of Jesus Christ, the third time he came out of the distance, out of the garden, he told the boys, let us go. Suddenly, he was no longer afraid. That pressure that was saying that, if this cup can pass over, this time around, if a cop tries to pass over, he will catch the cop and bring it back. Where are you going? Do you understand my point? Before, if this cop can just fly over, you understand? But nevertheless, this time around, by the time the third hour of prayer was through, if the cop tries to go away, he was going to catch the cop and say, come back here, let's do the will of God. How did they attain to that point? Listen, my brethren, it was by praying. That is what prayer is about. We spend too much time praying about our needs and our problems. No, there are times we have to make crucial decisions and you think you have wisdom. Because there's another part of it, sometimes you may not actually know what you thought you knew. And that's what prayer does for you. That's what prayer does for you. We'll talk about that again next time. But let's sit on the one in which we know what is right to do. It's not by force, you know, by force. It's not energy we use. And this is what I believe. I believe that you will stay with that prayer until obedience becomes easy. When I say easy now, I don't mean that when the Romans change their mind, that we won't crucify you anymore, we'll just shoot you. That's not what I mean. We won't beat you anymore, we'll just burn you with fire so that you die fast. That's not what I mean by becoming what? Easy. I'm talking about your own personal perception towards it. That it gets to a point in which they come and say, oh boy, you guys have come. Okay, what exactly is it that you want? They say that we want to collect you. Who? Jesus Christ. I'm the one. And you're not afraid anymore. The truth is that the real fight that we fight in the spirit is fought at those times of prayer. Believe me, if you have ever been in those situations, it can be agonizing. You know what I found out? If you have to try and stay up all night to pray, don't bother, sleep. What did I say? No, that was not what I said. I said, if you have to try to stay up all night to pray, what did I say? Don't bother, sleep. The time that you need to stay up all night, the sleep will take itself, will excuse you by itself. All this one of, you fan your face, don't sleep, we are praying. You'll be jogging to pray. But go and sleep. No, really. I mean it, go and sleep. No, really, I'm not kidding about it. Go and sleep. You know, I always laugh at church when they do all-night service. The first part of the all-night service, you clap and sing. Then after some time, somebody preaches. Then we praise more. Then after some time, when we begin to fall asleep, they do not bring the most exciting singer for the night. In answer, because it's 3 and past, all of you are dozing. Sorry, it's all foolishness. Pastor, you know what you should tell them to do? Everybody go and sleep. Today's all-night prayer, we'll do it in the morning tomorrow. I mean, this is not to pray. They say that somebody wrote me that that's when you modulate the activities of the devil. What's your problem? Are you a choir director in hell? You modulate the activities of the devil. The commandment you give during the day is still effective at night. Do you understand my point? So don't worry about it. No, this is why my wife used to say I was very, very strange Christian when she met me. Because I don't understand people. They'll be there in church. Oh, no, for Israel, it's self-righteousness. You want to be able to say, yes, we stayed up all night. What do you do the morning after? Nobody to sleep. You know, human beings are very funny. The morning after, what did they do? They crash. They didn't have to sleep the whole night. They say, bro, you're still sleeping. Say, yes. You know, we went for all night. What kind of joke is that? My friend, the night comes when no man can walk. Sleep. Then wake up early and pray. You know why James, John, and Co. fell asleep? They didn't understand what was going down. Peter, James, John, all those guys. You know why they fell asleep? They didn't know what was going down. They thought it was ministry as usual. We wake up tomorrow, we heal all the sick. If we find one or two dead people, we raise them just for dinner, you know. We just, you know, nothing spoiled. But Jesus knew what was happening. Next day, you know what I'm saying? Ah, to the cross, beaten. Oh boy, the guy enough is sleep. What am I saying? When the pressures in your soul gets to that point, that is the time to do what? To pray. And this is what I like to say. Pray until you finally fall asleep. By the time you can fall asleep, the problem has been solved. Should I say that again? By the time falling asleep is no longer difficult for you, the problem has what? Been solved. Angie will wake up one morning and then she realized that, what thing will happen? She realized that the fear, all this, what will we do, has just disappeared. She just pick your phone and say, Bobo, we need to talk. But before we talk, let me tell you what we are talking about. In obedience to the word of God, I can't go ahead. Why are you so callous? Oh boy. Obedience to God can look. He said, Jesus, I didn't come to bring reconciliation. I came to bring a sword. I am sorry. I hope you've gotten my point today. Yes, But I think we have spoken enough for today. We'll continue it next time, and then we'll take time out to pray. Let me just say this, please, before I go. What's my emphasis? This school of prayer. I think we should redirect what we pray about and how we pray about things. The devil is not after you. Amen? You know why? Because you have overcome. Let me ask you a question. Was the devil chasing Job around? Was he? He knew his level, that Job was a no-go area. The only thing the devil uses to chase us now as Christians, I said it before, is temptation, wrong doctrines, believing wrong things. That's all.